Talk about what?
Yeah. Oh, that was here by New Holland, didn't it?
Any questions about what we talked about last week?
That one place you left where you lost that personal involvement, the information that formed, and the relationship to you, you know, all through the
district. That's the sexual activity in the relationship that stays at the course through sexual immorality. And that's one reason why I ask couples how long it's been since they've been sexually involved. Because the lack of sexual involvement then generates and spins off other problems. They are often much worse than the difficulties in the sexual relationship. I went with a couple this last week who decided that since it was so much trouble, they couldn't do it anymore. Fine, but this causes more trouble than the lack of doing it causes more trouble than doing it. Sometimes you say it just felt like it was just something to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Be the preacher and that's the extra. Okay. Worst things in that. And the book I recommend was what? Every week, after every week. What? The Pinnacle Pleasure. Excellent book. Get the couples of the marriage for 40 years or 40 days. Not just for couples who are engaged, but to be married. That's all I mean. Any other questions? We talked about the S word last week. We're going to talk about two S's this week. What are the two S's? Anybody know?
Security and
protection. Protection,
security.
Dr. Larry Crabb has put together some very interesting information. Of all the guys in the psychological field, I'm probably a ten closest to Dr. Crabb in my philosophy and approach to ministry and theology than anybody else in the field. Some other guys that I like in the field that go off one way or the other, Steve Mercury, Steve Leibowitz, and then Jay Adams, I like, except that he's awfully hard, and Scott Edges, and he very heard his speech, just a difficult person. But he goes to see a great stuff, he's just a little... I'm rough on the edge, and I'm bad enough. I don't need to be around people like that. But Dr. Larry Crabb, I think, is a well-balanced individual with regard to theology, psychology, and just his approach and bedside manner and all that kind of stuff. So, he done some research and reduced the essence of the male and the female down to two words.
The essence of the male is the word significant.
I don't know how to spell it, so I don't know how to get the person to come and come around. Is that right?
And a few words for the women's act. A few words for men is what? Or for women is what?
Security.
And
significance is doing something meaningful and useful for yourself, your family, your locale, your country, and for the world. So that what you do, you want to be sure that these things are done in a productive way so as to be of some significant value and make some contribution. Whatever it is. Doesn't matter how lowly your task is. If you're the janitor and you don't change the light bulb, everybody else is stuck in the dark. And so, you know, your job becomes important. So no matter what it is, it has some value or significance. Women have the word security, and there are different facets. There's five different levels of security. And those levels are physical security, defined by all the original ones in the world. Then by a sign that says, this property is guarded by what? Nothing left. We're not reading about this at all. So in other words, it says, forget the dog, worry about the owner. So let's just turn all that in, you know.
And so physical security. That is the spiritual security. This is the fill of what? Yeah?
Women. Why? Why, Christy? What? So why are women filled with Christy? Why are Christy filled with women?
Mm-hmm.
degree and greater need. They also have a greater capacity. And that comes as a byproduct of what part of their life? Come on. Sit right here. What aspect of it about security has to do with spirituality in women and church? Well, what other capacity do women do that ties into the need for church security? Nurturing. They're womb-centered, nurturing children.
And so they carry the burden for that, therefore they have a greater need for it. Physical, spiritual, emotional. They need to feel safe emotionally.
They may be safe physically, but not what? And emotionally is, if they drive a car and it breaks down once, they never do touch the car ever again. And they want a what? A new car, you say, the tenant. They want a new car. Because they don't ever touch that one again. Because it failed them what? Once. And so therefore you just can't. And so they get emotionally involved in the security aspect of things, even though physically they may be okay. You can explain rationally it's okay, but emotionally it's not okay.
Number four is relationally. Relational security. They're insecure in the relationship in which they're involved with, either in a dating relationship and or a what? Marriage. And being secure in that relationship in which they can trust each other. And when that breach is, when that trust is breached or broken, the rebuilding of it is especially difficult for females. And if I had to pick, and I could pick a couple, well, one of them is going to have an affair, and I could pick which one, didn't I? I'd pick two every time. Huh? Never pick the man. Never pick the man. Always let her, no problem, let her have it, don't worry about it. Hey, you don't have to call her there, honey. Good to have you. You don't have to worry about it. If I could pick, I would pick what every time? The woman. And let her have an affair. If I could pick ahead of time and say, okay, this couple, one of them's going to have an affair. It's a done deal. What I'm going to do, all I get to do is pick which one, because I get to pick it on the other side, then I would pick two to have your pick. Mm-hmm. The woman.
I thought
you meant, okay. Why would I make
that
pick? It's easier for him to forgive, plus it doesn't breathe quite in him.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't breach the security of the relationship like it does with her. So it's easier to work on what it does to him than on what it does to her. Did I leave you anything? I think I lost it.
No, I'm different.
That she loses security. That does different things to her. When she has,
when you have the affair, it reaches her. And you know, when she does it, it impacts you what?
Significance. It's much easier to repair your significance than it is to repair her security system. She uses all of those to build her relationship and her security. I think when we build her significance, it's easier for him to be able to own that. Now, that doesn't make it easy. It's hard no matter which side does it. And
And it's even tougher when you work with what?
Double for what?
It's good for the what? And so one's done it for the other what? So that's the same thing. So one person looked at the hammer, hit himself in the head, now you got two. Good. That's a lot of fun. And you have no idea. You've never been down this road. You have no idea the agony of what that does. And it goes on around us every day. The people around you every day who are involved in having faith. It is the most prolific activity in the state of Oklahoma. I came from California to Oklahoma thinking I'd get away from all that stuff. It is worse here than I have ever seen in California. Absolutely. I do this for a living. I'm not reaching this stuff. Now, why would I say that? What measurement would I determine about that? Yeah? How would you evaluate a minister who said the work rate? So you look at the counties, and you register the counties in the country, by county per capita, and you look at the divorce rate of each county. Oklahoma County ranks what? Second behind what county? Las Vegas County is number one. County around Las Vegas is number one. Number two is Oklahoma County around Oklahoma City. And the county I came from in California is like 1,000 something. Which tells me what about immorality? It's a lot what? Yeah, well, it's here than it is in California. When I say that to Oki, they just kind of hunker up and say, you don't know what's going on. But what do you do here in Oklahoma you can't do in Las Vegas? What can you do in Oklahoma you can't do in Las Vegas?
You can get a divorce in the state of Oklahoma. You have 50% adults, that's another condition. No minor children, that's another condition. No minor children. You can get a divorce, and on the 11th day, you can both be married. You can't do that in Las Vegas.
So the actual people that live here, or the people coming here?
People live here.
Because of that reason?
They just live here. And we make it easy for them to what? Get divorced, and then what? 80% of all divorces end in marriage. Okay. Tell me the difference. 80% of all divorces end in what? Marriage. That means people are going to get divorced and what? Amen. 8 out of 10. 8% of that, amen. They took the time.
Yeah.
The worst thing I hear is for somebody to say, I've had a divorce and I've remarried. And we're okay. But if I'd have put this much work in my first marriage, I'd what? Mm-hmm. I'd be married. They'd have to be paying South for the alimony. But here in Oklahoma, we just see it, I met with a couple who made something. I set an appointment a week later, 7 days. They missed that appointment. I started hunting them down, couldn't find them. Finally got a hold of him. Following Tuesday, so it's been took like 13 days to run him down. So would you like to reset an appointment? He said, no, I don't think so. I said, you guys doing better? He said, no, I've already divorced her and remarried. I'm having trouble keeping up, The stats I've seen on that is that in metropolitan areas, the living rate is higher than in rural areas. But if you look at the per capita basis on the Oklahoma versus Los Angeles, it's the same. If you look at Cook County or state, and the byproduct of living together is that eventually what happens? You're pregnant. So, and often it's younger women involved with older men. 16, 17, 18-year-old girls involved with men who are 25, 26, 23, 24. usually a 5 to 7, 8 bracket difference. And therefore, Oklahoma has the highest, or next to the highest, what? Teen pregnancy rate in the country. From teen pregnancy rate, you can assume that there's a lot of people having what? Sex.
There you go, that's not how you figure it.
It's real difficult to get pregnant without sex. Now, we know about the pregnancy here, so we don't say all that, but... Then you don't know about that?
Mm-hmm.
Used to be the thing that if you did co-ed swimming, that you could get pregnant that way. That's the reason why we didn't let people fish down through co-ed. Some of you didn't know that was that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we're on the leading edge of all those parameters. If you look at all the parameters and break down the family, Oklahoma leads or is right in the top 10 of every one of those parameters. Because we have abandoned our moral base, and there is this assumption that this is the Bible Belt. And that's gone away probably 10 years ago. And when you lose your moral base and your moral right and wrong, comes out in lots of ways. Remember, what was it, 10 or 15 years ago when they rounded up every county commission in the state of Oklahoma and sent a lot of them to jail? Lots of them to jail. I talked to a county judge in Oklahoma County, not this one, but another county, said, Jim, he said, it's worse now than it was then. He said, it's not only that, he said, the guy they sent to jail for doing it, he's back in what?
The office.
Isn't that amazing? And in rural counties, you can always find a county commissioner. He's the only guy in the country that has what? Not a paved road, but a concrete road. Going from where? His house, all the way out to the state highway. One of them, that road cost $20 million to build. That was one county, one commissioner, and one road. They can't find all the material that $20 million would buy, but he got a good rate. But he wrote off the rest of it. And so, when you lose moral integrity, it crosses not only sexual, but every other area of integrity. You lose it in politics, you lose it everywhere. Up and down there.
Physical, spiritual, emotional, relational, and what's the last one? Women don't need a lot of money, they just need enough.
It's a company with $34,000 a week.
$34,000
a week. It's what she needs to maintain her lifestyle.
Yes, don't it, buddy?
And there's just some lifestyle that is just difficult to maintain. Right. See, you'll get lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, be careful of the lifestyle you do with your wife.
That's right. Why do women have smaller feet than men? Why do women have smaller feet than men? So they can get closer to a Christian thing. Somebody sent me a whole list of rat, the road that goes, that's terrible. Financially, which means that you have to feel financially what? And that whatever you do together, you need to be in agreement. And understand where you are and agree on where you are. And the reason these two words are so important, and I wrote them in a different spot on the chart. Why did I do that? They have an inversely proportional relationship. This starts at 0 and goes to 100. Hers starts at 0 and goes to what? 100. Okay? And so the relationship runs like this. And that you slide this little slide up and down this thing.
If he pushes up for more and more significance, if he gets more significant, he gets what?
And she forces and pushes us down for more what? To get what? Why does it work that way?
Well, it works like this. When you're on top of it, you know what you're saying is, they stress and save their money, and they have $15,000 to save.
He works every garbage man.
And
they work, they live real quick and save their money. But he doesn't want to what? Your garbage man always wants. Someday he wants to what? Someday he wants to own his own garbage company. So he looks at that, say his textbook, and he sees 15,000 units of what? Significant.
So that 15,000 in the bank, he sees your 15,000 units of significant.
He sees your what? How many units?
15,000 units of what?
Good. And as long as he's in the bank, they both can claim it. One day he comes home all excited. And I've got my first commercial customer, and I found me a what? Truck. And that truck cost $15,000. And it's huge. It's huge. It's a great truck.
Reach out.
And so they come and see me. Because they've been out all night at it. He's determined that he's the head of the house, therefore he should make the decision. And she's determined what? He's still the head of the house, but what? The money stays in the bank. Well, whatever he wants to do, he can do on his own. Which is what? So you come and see me and say, can you help us? And I say, yes.
What we're going to do is we're going to take the $15,000
money.
Well, what we're going to make him get to her is a what?
A secured promissory note for how much?
$15,000. He has a promissory note, he has debt. His note has to be serviced every month for a certain amount every month for 5 years.
And who holds the note?
Yeah.
He has a secured note. This is a secure investment, which gives her what?
The truck.
Security. What's she going to do with the truck? Who knows? Anyway, she has the security. She holds the note. She's the banker.
Okay.
And yet he has what? He has the truck. And he can start collecting garbage. So after 5 years,
which is what the note is set up for, before the 5 years is up, 3 years is up, he's going to fill out and off the what?
The note. And he calls me up and says, why would my wife throw her wedding ring at me? All I want to do is buy another foot. And that truck costs how much? And she has a note for another 2 years, so he should be able to do that, right? Yeah. Because the deal was, he pays that back without interest, so there's no interest in it for her. So the buyout for her, you know, she gets the 15 back, but there's no upside to it. Except if she wants to what?
The more house.
What?
What
does she want?
Okay.
A baby. You get it. And they live in a small house, and they need what? A bigger house. So the deal was, you pay off the note, no interest, but you have to, when the note's paid off, you have to build an excavator in the house so she wants to work. That's the upside for her. You get the money back, and a what? And? A room on the house. Okay? Is that how it works? And what he did after 3 years was do what?
And
change the rules without her what? Insurance consent. So when I left California, loaded up, moved to Oklahoma, I came down the road they live on. They were one of the last couple that I saw before I left California. I came down the road they live on, like 8 o'clock in the morning, we were rolling out. And here they are, standing out in the front yard, the back of the street, looking for house. And there must be 6 guys at their house. They just tore the whole back end off that house. And she's got a wedding ring back on her arm around. She says, what? We didn't get the other foot. He's got the baby. The baby cost $80,000. Did you know that? Not including a college education. Okay. Now, the volunteer is, if either one of them pushes for what they want, the other one gets what? Nothing. Now, can they both get what they want? Another couple, her dad died and left them a house. He was a welder and had started a welding business. And the only money they had is what? That's what he had in the house. So he wants to start a welding business, and he's going to do that by checking out a what? Jacket on his house. Her house. But it's in his name. And her name. But it's his house, son. It's her house. Because it came from what? Money that comes from his family is ours. Money that comes from her family is what? It's all your family. It's not at some level playing field. And so, they came and wanted to do the same thing. And I said, okay, we'll do the same thing. Because that is something, he pays his company all the business, and he did. And he looked at it, and he said that. And then the same thing paid off for her. And when it's paid off, they can do that again at the next year. But there has to be some kind of a trade-off of equity and protection of the other person again. And so, and it's not that you're not going to risk things, but you may want to risk everything you have. The key is you both have to rest. Agree and know what the risks are you're taking. And you may choose to run one of those all the way up or one of them all the way down. But to protect the relationship, you both have to understand and you both have to agree that we're going to do that together. I wanted to increase my significance to go to seminary and go to ministry. Ministers don't make what engineers make. Did you know that? I'm going to increase my significance at the expense of what? So you have to agree on those things together. I can say, God told me to do this, and you're going to do what I tell you to do. Because God was committed. Well, it might have been the truth, actually. But see, I want to increase my significance, and it costs her what? And then at some point, you've got to turn that back on. You've got to put it back on. Or if you can't or don't, or you're not able to, then you have to both agree to that and live with that. Yeah. They're like the 5 legs of a table, and you can get by on, you can lose, you know, either part of one or 1 or 2, but the more you lose, the more unstable the whole stuff will get. Right, and that helps stabilize. You've got 5. You can function on 3. Not very well, but you can function on 3. You can lose 2 of them, you can still get around. But it's very, very difficult to have all 5 of them. And what it does is, it's like the word, what's 3 more? What's 3 more? You may know. What's 3 more? Or is there 3 apart in your area? A deniable time for a ship. It's the difference between the top of the ship and the water line. You notice that real heavy had low freeboard, and the Tiffy had a lot of freeboard.
And see, if you have 2 foot of freeboard, you can take a 1 foot blade and run the top.
If you have 2 foot of freeboard, you can't take a 3 foot blade.
Fine.
You got no board. And you go down.
You see, what happens is, as he loses this thing, he sinks further in the water, and he can take less of a ripple. Because in all the places he has 5 foot of freeboard, he can take most weight. If he loses one, he's only got four, and then two, or three, and then two. And then it doesn't take much, and you get low on what doesn't take much to think about. Yeah.
So what if you should have increased your and you should have secured it, and not that it was done, how do you use it for that after that?
It's a then do that, ladies and gentlemen. What you have to do is start working back the other way. Well, these couples, then he began to repay periodically back into his security system. So he just set up a monthly payment plan and paid it back to anybody. I've other couples that certain levels that they've used all their resources and savings, you know, and she likes to have $4,000 or $5,000 in savings just to feel secure. They use it all for, you know, a house project, they built a new house. Well, new houses that, you know, cost $100,000, you get done, they cost $180,000. And they promise you it only cost $100,000. Then you eat up everything. And what you have to do is, once you've gone that way too far, once you've run it up,
once you've run it way up to here, you've got to determine that the next step scenario is,
I'm going to push it back down the other way. You don't have any choice. You don't have any choice.
The other way you look at it is just like a pulley and a rope. And one goes that way.
I mean, it's a direct one-to-one relationship, and it's inversely proportional.
But if you raise the significance on this side, then what? You're moving it down on the other.
You roll it back the other way.
And see, there's no spot on this scale here that's wrong. Did you hear me? What did I say? The only spot on it that's wrong is where you don't what?
Mm-hmm.
You don't agree.
I'm a significant part, though. You would tell us that if they found more property and took them out for now, but that he would kind of, that would kind of be significant for him.
It's important to look at which is significant to who and what it appears to be. Or make you feel significant. I have a man right now that most of his significance comes in serving and giving his time to projects that one at one time. Well, those are very significant things for him to do. But he has 40 hours a week to make money and he takes 20 of it to do commanders or whatever. Because that's significant for him.
Mm-hmm.
When he does that, what happens to first? What?
Mm-hmm.
Right, he becomes time what else?
Less money.
Less money, because he can't generate as much money.
Mm-hmm.
And so he in turn, even though he's doing humanitarian volunteer work to increase his significance, then, you know, good man. I taught a work discovery class in California. And at a gal in my class, he was married to a guy who was a painting contractor. And had been a painting contractor for many years, had a good education, did good work, but good network. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and could make a lot of money. He had decided that painting was not a very significant thing to do because he's tired of it. So he was always wanting to be a youth pastor. So he started taking over the youth from their church. Up and up. When I got into it, she came to see me because they were separated. She left me. Because he was putting in 60 hours a week the views of the list of what we're talking. No money. Right. He was gone, not making any money. IRS had taxed everything they owned, and they were behind on everything, and he just was pursuing his work. The idea and the dream of doing something for who? He felt like he was doing something for what? For God. And so I called the pastor and I said, listen, I got this wife in my car, and her husband's there, I'd like you to fire him. But you're not paying, just fire him and turn to the work I'm training for what? And the pastor said, he said, we can't afford to hire anybody working. He's doing the best job. Anybody, we just need you to do that. He said, well, you'll have a divorce later. Not later, you can work. And yet he thinks he's doing something for the job. And he's keeping his, he said, maybe 2 years. But the problem was that it's not that he's running his thing all the way to the top. What's the problem?
Without what?
Now it may well be that they both feel called to it and they sell everything they got and dump in and be the pastor. Not a problem. See? As long as they have what? Agreement. As long as they have agreement. Let's go back to the guy. Yeah, 15,000. He bought him up and said, no, you're not doing it, and he won't give it to the other. Come on. And so she says, no. I want my security. He gives up his significance, and so for the rest of his life, he gets to pay for everybody for the same amount of money until he's ready to die. And so he spends the rest of his life with what kind of example. No significant
difference.
It depends. If they can agree together, the best that they're going to do is if they're going to save money and build his security, and if he's willing to give up his significance, if he wasn't do that, then that's a fine place to sit. Remember I said there's no what on that? There's no wrong place on that. So if they choose to do that in the group, then he can do it without any. He just may say, hey, this is what I do, you know, and when we die, when I can retire, I'll take my retirement with what we've got saved, and we'll do something. And as long as they both agree, then that's okay.
Well, I
something worthwhile doing, and she may be willing to give up some of her physical security or relational security voluntarily in exchange for that, and you can't put a dollar amount to that. This is a very difficult concept to me. The more a man gives to her, the more he feels like he's bowing down and kissing her feet and becoming a less significant person because he's clinging to her every wish and need. And that he wants to spend all day just walking around, brown nosing her. But that's how he feels. Now, it isn't that he should do some of that, but if that's all he does, he has no time to do that. It has any significance or to feel any worthwhile about himself. Yeah, that's it. And I would
agree. Well, this is something, it's a self-denial. It's a denial in itself. And that's what I'm saying now. I find it that anyone who can't commit and deny himself.
Right.
In fact, it's a self-denial in the judgment.
It's self-denial on the part of what? Both of them. There's only 100%, folks. And you take more than what? They get less. And it's okay as long as you have what? Agreement, and that there's going to be some movement later on to compensate. You know what they left. Okay. And they can, you know, women can live with you know, short-term loss on any or all of them or a bunch of them. I hold my wife and kids up, and we lost probably 4 out of 5 of those. I hauled her up to a summer camp. We had nothing. We lived in a cabin, no land, water, no electricity, no nothing, and 2 kids. And we started off with nothing. But I went because I wanted to get in ministry. And the kids that owned that camp, I wanted to work for them. And that's the only job they had, and what? I took it. And I spent the whole summer. And we just lived, and we didn't have any land, water, no electricity, no nothing. Well, yeah, people were very early. Look, you're my way or what? Out of here. Winter water was about 300 yards away. Mm. And we finally got a tank and took it coming up in the water.
Yeah.
Around. And she can't stay down there very long without becoming very, very resentful. That she's doing all the work and what? And you're going to throw the hands off the lady. Can let his wife go to school, and he can carry the burden of what that means and help out, and it has one impact on the relationship. When the woman agrees to support the family while the man goes to school, it has a different set of sequences that occur. And then she feels like that she's doing it all and he's doing nothing, and her resentment level can't last very long. My wife and I have done that 3 times. That's not the point. He's a good one. I know who the good one is. I see, it's real easy. You may make 10 times what she makes. Part time and go to school, but she's still what? She's still putting what? All her money into it. A large percentage of it. Into it. And see, that's okay as long as you don't let the resentment, the bitterness come back on you about that. You got to take care of all the rest of those real, real careful. You got to let any rest of them get out of whack, because you already got one of them out of whack. The financial things are already shifted around. At the expense of the significance. It's interesting that in his year he was called of God and he wouldn't obey God and follow God, so he was better, what? He's better off without him, because now he could spend what? 70 or 80 hours a week for God and didn't have to put up with him. If your wife's sitting on the front door and the dog's howling at the back door, who do you lay in first? You let the dog in first. He'll shut up when he gets in. See, this little chart right here is a very, very powerful tool. And we're just not talking nickels and dimes here. This is a very, very powerful concept. It's a very difficult concept to communicate. It took me about 4 years to come up with it so far through your team. And I work in it every day. And I saw people, you know, 30, 40, 50 people a week for 4 years before I could finally get a grip on this thing. So I still don't. This thing, if you push it too far, it just falls apart and breaks down. It's a good teaching tool to understand the thing, but it's not, I mean, it's not, you know, perfect by any means. But it's just a way to help you visualize, look at, and understand in a marriage. And I think if I could pick any part of this 13-week series, this is the most important one. Because it impacts everything else going on. And we often unconsciously sacrifice the other person's stuff without even thinking and knowing that we did it. Just a bunch of an eye. We often do it without any consulting or any talking about it. Oh yeah, you can do a Mexican standoff, put your thing right in the middle, and you both end up with this. And you end up with disagreement. A lot of your parents and grandparents have arrived at that point. It's just a Mexican standoff. They don't like each other, but they can't cut loose from each other. They don't talk, they're not scared, they have a different life, different checkbook, they just don't get a divorce. Now when I say different checkbook, I mean it's not like you got a family checkbook and a business checkbook. Like they each have their own individual business. They're all their own personal checkbook, they don't come in with friends at all. If you're in a business, you have to run two accounts. Or you should run two. Work a lot of people who bought 50,000 people who put me out of a checkbook and then selling them up. That's a good way to work.
Something
like that. Go broke, uh-huh.
Because of my heavy front.
One of them was that they married too early and didn't get a chance to
vote. Mm-hmm.
That was the excuse. You know, so they did the other thing. But anyhow, funny thing about it, he was going through.
Define fun for me.
No, that's what we do.
I'll define fun for you. Fun is going and playing in the darkness. You hear me? Just understand it. Fun is going and playing in the darkness, assuming that you can always come back to the light. And you can most of the time. But having fun is a little bit like standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon. And you have a little tilt meter on your arm. Tilt meter tells you how far over you lean. Okay? And so you lean over 10 degrees and look down and think, man, I can see a lot of stuff. And you just stand back up straight, so maybe goes back to you. And you want to have fun, you go out to 13 degrees, you can see more stuff down there. And you can come back and stand up straight. At 15 degrees, you only see a lot more stuff, but what? You can't really come back. And so, for some people to have fun, you have to understand that fun means I'm going to go and play in the darkness for a while. And lean over as far as I can, because I think I can always find.
It's having fun sometimes. Also, looking for certain securities and some other things, and some other things, and just looking in the world.
And that, and for her to do that, the only way she could do that is to go live in the darkness if she's married. And she can go do that. She can go pursue security. It's real, real interesting that you see, especially in the medical world, you'll see a doctor leave his wife for a what? A nurse. You'll see her abandon her career for him. Not knowing that if you cheat on your spouse, you cheat on your mistress. Even though your mistress becomes your spouse. Because the fun is not in the living together, it's in the playing around the darkness. And so now he's a nurse married, they've got a small child. He's paying tons of money to his first lady and her four children. And they don't have any what? No security. She's making $250,000 a year and she has no what? So see, you can make a lot of money. Security is not in how much money you make. Security is how much you have left over after you've paid what you need to pay. That's where the security comes from. If you're making $500 a week and your bills are $450, you have what? Security. If you're making $50,000 a week and your bills are $55,000, what? But you're making a lot of money. But see, we don't often see that, like the two guys who went to hay haul business down in Texas, bought a truck, went up to Kansas and bought hay. Well, I was hauled back to Texas and sold it for 50 cents a barrel. After 2 months, one of them said, yeah, we're not making any money. I said, yeah, we need to buy another what? Okay. Sometimes it's hard to balance those things out, to work them together. It's very difficult to make those things work. And what's interesting is that you're going to do this little shuffle up and down this thing every day for the rest of your life. Is that what? And it's not going to stay stationary. Unless you make a mess and stand up at it. And that you're going to have to talk about what that means to go up and down. And just about the time you get your kids ready, you've got a year to 2 years to enjoy them all being gone, and then what? You get to raise your hand. And you get to go through the whole process of now you don't have kids, now you have friends who act like what?
You get to have your kids.
I know you do. And remember something. Home is what? What's the definition of home?
Where they come back to.
When you gotta go there, they gotta let you in. So you need to figure at least half your kids are gonna come back home and live with you after you emancipated them. And they bring other things with them. Dogs, cats, kids. live-in partners, do they want to come and live in your house with you? And you can't say no.
Yeah.
Because if you say no, you never see your what? Grandchildren again. And you want them living in your bedroom, worst nights in one, with these two people that you want to live in, living under a bridge in the cold and the wet. Where do you want your two grandchildren? And those are hard things. I say they're right. Stay in the heart. God bless you if you never have to face them. You think you're going to run up and down on you. And see where you're going.
You just need to talk about it, and you have to understand. And you have to agree on the way you're at. And it may be all the way up here, but it may be all the way down here.
You both have to know what you got, where you're at, and you have to live with them. And so forth. Father, we thank you for your time. We thank you for your grace, forgiveness, watch over us, your church, your wisdom, understanding, as we deal with each other. Father, to understand how different we are, male and female, and how really different our needs are from each other. Father, in the marital relationship, to be able to communicate and to understand, and to be able to walk forward in that, we thank you now for your grace, in Jesus' name. Amen.